Today's daf is Chul and Daf Yud Dalid. We are holding at the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. So first thing we're going to discuss is doing Shechita at night or in the dark, and what the possible issues might be if one does Shechita when one can't see things very well. Then the Mishnah on the top of Yud Dalid Amud Aleph is going to discuss if a person shechts an animal on Shabbos or on Yom HaKippurim, is the animal going to be kosher? So the Mishnah is going to tell us that the Shechita is kosher, and the Gemara is going to have a comment that asura ba'achila liyoma, but you're not allowed to eat it on that entire day. So the Gemara is going to say, ooh, who's the Tana that holds that you're not allowed to eat it that entire day? That must be the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. But when Rav makes that comment that it's the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, he doesn't identify what statement Rabbi Yehuda ever made that aligns with such a comment. So the Gemara is going to figure out through the rest of today's daf and half of tomorrow's daf, which statement did Rabbi Yehuda ever make in any Mishnah in Shas that would lead you to believe that if a person shechts on Shabbos, even though it's mutar b'achila, it's asur b'yomei, it's asur on that Shabbos. So we're going to have four possibilities, three of which come up on today's daf, and one that comes up on tomorrow's daf. But along the way, we're also going to discuss two possible rayos that Rabbi Yehuda rejects the notion of Breira. We're going to get into the sugya of Breira, which is a very big Shas topic. We're also going to talk about some issues relating to Muktzah and perhaps different categories of Muktzah. And then tomorrow we'll get a little bit into Maisa Shabbos as well. So let's begin with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf, Yud Gimel Amud Beis. HaShochet B'layla V'chein Asuma Shashachat Shechita Sukshera. If a person shechts at night, or if a blind person does Shechita, the Shechita is still going to be kosher. Says Gemara, yeah, but HaShochet, do you have it in L'chadchil Lo? From the Lashon of HaShochet, if a person does this, then it's kosher, makes it sound like only b'diavad, but l'chadchila, one should not be shechting b'layla, or a suma should not be shechting. Or a minhi, li'olam shechtin ben b'yom ben b'layla ben b'rosh ha'gag ben b'rosh ha'sfina. But don't we have a braisa that tells us you could shecht whenever, whether it be daytime or nighttime, or on the top of a roof or on the top of a boat. What's the chiddush of a shechting on the top of a roof or the top of a boat? So says Rashi, b'yafagav titran ba'ashochit, even though we're going to see later on, daf mem alif, ein shechtin lo l'toch yamim, v'lo l'toch naharos. You're not allowed to shecht into rivers and into seas because people are going to think that you're shechting avodah zarah, that you're shechting l'sar shel yam, v'lo l'toch kelim, and you can't shecht into kelim. That if you're being makabel dam, what are you doing a kabbalas hadam for? By a shechitas chulin, people are going to think that you're doing it because you want to be zorik the dam l'avodah zarah. Afilu hachi b'rosh hagag shechtin vein choshen l'shem yom l'tzva. That's why there's a Hava Amina that shechting Barosh Agag is going to be a problem, because that also looks like, why do you go up to a roof? You slap an animal all the way up to a roof to shecht. Maybe it looks like you're trying to shecht Lutzva HaShemayim, you're trying to shecht to the stars, to the moon, to something like that. Oh, in Mekabel Bekli, HaKol Yodin Shef Sholotani Fasagag, Vein Kan Chashad. But if you're Mekabel, or even if you're Mekabel Bekli, but you're Barosh Agag, context is everything. No one's going to suspect that you're using it avodah zarah. They're just going to suspect you don't want to ruin the walls of the house that you're on top of. If you're on a boat when you're shechting, no one is going to think you're being shochet to the sar shel yam, because obviously you're shechting into the sea. What, you want to get the blood all over the boat? That's why you're shechting into the sea. It's clear. But that's the hava mina. The hava mina that it would be a problem is that typically anything that would lead to a chashash that you're doing it for avodah zarah or for some other purpose would be problematic. But over here, context is everything. Tosus disagrees that it's necessarily mutter on a svina just because it's obvious that you don't want to mess up the boat. V'yef shalomar kin, says the bottom Tosus, da'afilu omid b'svina asu l'shchob d'toch hayam. Tosus, you know, even if you're on a boat, you're not allowed to shecht into the yam. K'damrin l'kaman b'sav parak sheni, elamot ziyadu chutz l'svina v'shochet, v'dam shosis v'yorid al dofne ha'svina. We're going to see that later on, a sugya later on. Okay, so, but that's the hava mean of why it would be asur. So, but the bottom line is, our focus is not those two things of Rosh Hagag and Rosh HaSfina. Our focus is the first thing the Brisa said, Bein Bayom, Bein Belaila. Our Mishnah said that if you shecht b'layla b'di'evet, it's okay. But here you have a brisa that seems to say l'chadchila you're allowed to shecht b'layla. So I'm rapapa k'shavuka k'negdo. B'shavuka k'negdo. When you have a torch there that's lighting up the night, then it's okay. Am ravashi dekanami d'ktani yasam d'umidiyom v'achad d'umidusuma shma mina. And you can see, based on context, what we're associating with layla. In our Mishnah, we say if you shecht b'layla and v'chein hasuma. So just like a suma, there is no light, there's nothing that will ever light it up for him. So too, b'layla also, we're talking about a case where there is no light. And that's why only b'di'evit it's going to be kashra, you're not allowed to do it l'chadchila. The Brisa said, shochtin bein b'yom, bein b'layla. So it's associating layla with yom. Just like yom, there is light. So too, the case of shchita b'layla that the Brisa is talking about is where there is light. So that's based on context, you could see that the two cases of layla are not the same. Now, Maseches Baba Kama, Daf Pei Zayin, the Gemara quotes the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda that a Suma is Pater from mitzvahs. So the Shita of Rabbi Yeruchim is that we're Choshesh Ladas Rabbi Yehuda, that a Suma is Pater from mitzvahs. You have to be Choshesh Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, so if you need someone to be Motzi you in a mitzvah, you don't ask a Suma to be Motzi you in a mitzvah, to be Choshesh Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that a Suma is Pater from mitzvahs. So asks Rabbi Kiva Eger in Yerodea Simen Aleph in the very beginning of Yerodea and Hilcha Shchita, how could the Shulchan Aruch be machshir a shchita suma b'di'evit without quoting anyone who's cholik? According to Rabbi Yehuda, the suma is not mitzuva, and if he's not mitzuva, he's not a bar zvicha. And we already learned that anyone who's not a bar zvicha, shchita subsula. Anyone who's not included in shchita cannot accomplish shchita. And the suma seemingly is not included in shchita. So says Rabbi Kiveger, you see from here that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, that a suma is not mechuyav mitzvah sasei, but he is musar and nisurim. He is included in mitzvahs lo sasei, and that includes even a lav haba mechlal sasei. Now when the Torah says do this, and the assumption is because if you don't, it's a violation of a prohibition, so then suma is included. And shchita is a lav haba mechlal sasei, because the Torah tells us vizavachta, it's not a mitzvah sasei, because there's no chiyuv to shech tchulin, but it's a lav haba mechlal sasei. It's a lav that it's a losa say don't eat meat without the benefit of shchita, and a suma is included in that. What's the raya that a suma is included in a lav haba mechal asay? So obviously we have this, we have the fact that the Shulchan Aruch says this, but how did the Shulchan Aruch know it? So it says Rabbi Kiva Eger, the raya is that a suma is included in a lav haba mechal asay is a sugi nivam asay and zayin and beis. Rabbi Yehuda says that there's the iser mitzri of marrying mitzri until three generations applies to the cables as well, because the Torah associates the Isra with Leda. Banim asher yivoldu lahem dor shlishi yavolem b'kal Hashem. So the din of banim is tali in the mother that is molid the banim. That if the mother is a rishon, and then the ben is a sheni. So you see that the mothers are also included in the iser mitzri. So Rabbi Yochanan says over there that had Rabbi Yehuda not said that nashim mitzrios are aser, then lo matzah yad of haraglav. Then we would never be able to figure out how this could possibly work. The whole Isra of Mitzri could possibly work, because Rabbi Yehuda says in Kiddushin that Kal Gerim is Nikra Kahal. He holds that whenever there's Psule Kahal, that includes Gerim. That even Gerim are not allowed to marry Psule Kahal. We hold not that way. We hold that if you have a Psul Kahal, a Ger is allowed to marry someone who's a Psul Kahal. So if you have, let's say, a Patsua Daka is usher to marry into Kahal, but a Patsua Daka is allowed to marry a Gioras. But Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, Kal Gerim is Ikri Kahal, is included in Kal. So if Mitzrios were Mutter right away, like any other Gioras, it would have been Aser for a Mitzri Rishon Visheni to marry a Mitzris. And then how do you ever have a Dar Shlishi of Mitzri? Like it would never happen, because there's no way to happen for it to happen in a Mutter way. So says Rabbi Kiveger, so sharp, he says, L'chora, that's not a Raya at all. You could have said that even if Mitzrios were Mutter right away, a Mitzri could be Mitzahir if he marries a Mitzri Suma marries a Mitzris Suma. Just have blind Mitzri and Mitzris marry each other, and then they're not included in the Yisr Kal, they're not included in any of the Yisrim in the Torah, and in that way you can have in future generations, you'll have a Mitzri Shlishi. From the fact that the Gemara didn't make such a Nukimta, you see that whenever there's an Isser, whenever there's a Lav Abba Mukhalasei, Dor Shlishi Yavot, so Lav Abba Mukhalasei, so this suma is included in that iser, and that's why the Rabbi Yochanan's shita is compelling in Maseches Yevamos. Ooh, so that's the Rabbi Kivager's sharp ha'ara. But the point is that we do accept that la'alach, and all the Rishonim already point out that certainly in Los Haseis a suma is included, and as Rabbi Kivager says that even a lava b'mechlal Haseis a suma is included. There's also a machlok to Rishonim why it's aser to shecht b'layla. So you're not allowed to shecht b'layla when it's dark, certainly. Why not? So Rashi writes, because Shemela Yishchad Rova Simanim, because it's dark, you're not going to be able to check if you shechted the Rova Simanim. The halacha is you're supposed to check the Simanim. Taz in Yardeh, Simin Yeral says, what do you mean? Okay, just check when the sun comes up. Yeah, but you might forget by the time the sun comes up. We want you to be able to shecht immediately after the Shechita. The Rashba and the Meiri say a little differently, that someone who's shochet b'layla, we have to be choshesh shema yachlid. We have to be choshesh that he's going to put the knife under the skin of the animal or between the kan of veshet, and he's going to shecht in that way, and he's not going to realize because he can't really see so well, and that's going to be the problem with the Shechita. The Rashba's mechadesh ain't allowed to shecht in the dark even during the daytime for the same reason of shema yachlid. But within Shitas Rashi, it's machloka shach and taz, what would Rashi say about that? Rashi's whole concern is you're not going to be able to check the simanim right away. So what about shechting in a dark room during the daytime? Are we similarly concerned that you're not going to check the simanim right away? Do we say, no, you can just go outside and you'll be able to check the simanim? So that's machlokas shach and taz in Yeridaya. Okay, now at the top of your dalet amud aleph at the Mishnah. Shochet b'Shabbos b'yom ha-kippurim, av b'shem eschai b'nafsho shechitas u'ksheira. If a person shechts on Shabbos and or Yom Kippur, so he's chayv misa for shechting on Shabbos or Yom Kippur, but the shechita is still going to be a kashera shechita. Now the big kasha that the Rishonim deal with over here is we already had a sugya on daf hayamud aleph that a mumar l'chal Shabbos b'farhesi is a mumar l'chal Torah kula, and you're not allowed to eat from a shechita. So if you have someone who's a mechal Shabbos and he shechts for you, you cannot eat from the shechita. So how can we say over here shechita sukshera? Someone who's shochet b'Shabbos shechita sukshera by shechting on Shabbos, he's a mumar l'chal Shabbos. So automatically we should say shechita subsula. So the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnah says when we say shechit b'Shabbos shechita sukshera, that's only kishoshochet b'shogeg. It's only if he shechted b'shogeg. But ain't a chinami. If he shechted b'mezid on Shabbos, you cannot say shechita sukshera. He's absolutely a mumar. And the Rambam says, and don't give me any story about how, no, he's only a mumar at the Gemara Shechita, but at the beginning of the Shechita, he was not yet a mumar l'chal Shabbos. He says he's violating something at the beginning of the Shechita. Already at the beginning of the Shechita, before he cuts through the Simanim, he's already in violation of something in Chil Shabbos, and therefore he's already a mumar l'chal Shabbos. That's how the Rambam writes in Pirush HaMishnah. Tosfos, in Dibra Maskal HaShochet, it brings a raya from the Gemara in tomorrow's daf that our Mishnah could even be talking about when you shechted b'mezid, or at least that's the way the Gemara understood it. And therefore, Tosfos needs a different teretz than the Rambam. It can't only be talking about when you shechted b'shogeg, even b'mezid, and somehow still it's not a shechitas mumar. So Tosfos says, because it's only if you're mechal Shabbos b'far hesya that you're considered a mumar l'kala Torah kula. This guy shechted b'tzina. He didn't shecht b'far hesya in front of all a group of people, and therefore he's not a mumar l'kala Torah kula. His shechita is going to be kosher. He did a terrible aveira, but that's what the Mishnah said, he's Miskayev Benafsho, but since it wasn't Befaresia, he's not a Mumar L'Kala Torah Kula. What do we consider Befaresia? And Sinus of the Beis Yosef writes in Yardes and Kuvyataz, in the name of the Rashba, that whenever it's Befnei Asara Mi Yisrael, that's considered Befaresia. In front of a minion of Jews is considered Befaresia. Short of that is not considered Befaresia. The Rabbi Yonasan Eibshitz in the Placey says that the Rambam would also be Moda, that it's only that only Mechal Shabbos Befaresia is considered a Mumar. But he defines it a little differently. He says it doesn't have to be in front of Asara Yisrael in order to be Faresia. The point is that he should be that Mechal Shabbos Faresia means someone who's mafkir himself for this Isser. He's porik ol. He doesn't care about this Isser. He says, you know, what greater statement could there be that I don't care about this Isser than someone who was willing to go through with it in front of Edim after receiving Hasra'ah? That is the ultimate statement if I don't care about this Isser. Another way to make that statement is by doing it in front of Asara Mi Yisrael. But doing it in front of an Edim after receiving Asra'ah, that's also a way of making such a statement. And that must be the Shittas HaRambam, why you can't say that if a guy did it b'mezid, and he's Mischayev b'nafsho for doing it b'mezid, why you can't say that that's called, that he's not a Mechal Shabbos b'farasya. So far, two Terutzim. We have the Rambam's Teretz that the Mishnah must be talking about that he's doing it b'shogig, and that's why he's not a Mumar. And Tosfos Teretz that he did it b'tzina, and that's why he's not a Mumar. Then Tosfos suggests another Teretz, that you don't become a Mumar on the first time. A Mumar means that he habitually violates this Isser. So maybe this is his first time shefting on Shabbos. Even if he doesn't b'mezid, that makes him a terrible avarian. But it does not make him a Mumar. A Mumar for Chilul Shabbos means someone who does the Avera over and over again. When he's Mu'ad the Kach, he's Ragil Lavar L'Chal Shabbos, in the Lashon of Rabbi Kiva Eger. So if here it was just one time, he's not yet a Mumar. And then a fourth possibility is what the Rambam said not to say. The Chidush Aran writes in the name of a Tosfos that the first Shechita is Kasher because he doesn't become a Mumar until the Gemara Shechita. Because even though he's being Chovel in the Behemah at the beginning of the Shechita, that's not really a Malach Min HaTorah. Because when you're being Chovel in the Behemah, it's really being Mekalkel. It's not, you're not doing any Tikkun, you're really doing something that's destructive. It's only at the Gemara Shechita that it becomes a Tikkun, because now the meat becomes kosher from the Gemara Shechita. So only then is it considered a real tikkun. So anyway, so that's the one of the major issues the Rishonim deal with in the Mishnah. The other major issue the Rishonim deal with in our Mishnah is that our Mishnah seems to be directly against the famous sugya in Tumura Davdalid. There is a machlokas in Tumura Davdalid when Kol Milsa Dam Rachman Lo Sa'avid. Anytime the Torah tells you not to do something, Yavid Mahani or Yavid Lo Mahani. When you do it, is it considered that it is done, or is it considered that it is not done? Meaning, is it chal? Does it have an effect? Does it have the desired effect that you wanted it to have? So Abaye says that Yavid Mahani. Rava says, no, you violate the mitzvah in the Torah. The Torah is not only telling you not to do the act, it's telling you that your act of the Avera didn't even work. So if you say like Rava, that Yavid Lo Mahani, how do you explain Aval Pisha Meskayev Benafsho Shechitas Ukshera? The Torah says you can't do it, that means it shouldn't work. It's shechita, so it should not be ksheira. That's the very notion of i'avid lo mahani. That's exactly, if you look in that sugya, in Tzmura, Davdal, Davhei, Davav, it's a long sugya. The Gemara goes through like all of Shas. It brings 14 different cases of Mishnayos throughout all of Shas that seem to indicate i'avid mahani, i'avid lo mahani, rayas, back and forth. That's a real, Rav Sacks once commented to the Talmidim when he mentioned that sugya. He said, you know, if I were to tell you a chakira, and I would bring 14 rayas from all over Shas, so the younger Talmidim would tell me, no, that's not my Derech HaLimud. I don't learn like that. He said, no, but that's the Gemara's Derech HaLimud. We have to look at all of Shas as one big topic, and we bring rayas. So that's the Gemara has from all over the place. But what about over here? It's mamish against this Mishnah. Shkitas Ukshera. So this is something that bothered a number of the Achronim, and the Shach suggests that Rava only says, Yavid Lo Mahani, that the mice is not going to be chal, when there's no other way to do this ma'isa without violating the Isser. You know, the example in Maseches Tumura obviously is Tumura. Meaning the Isser is, don't exchange the Kedusha of this animal onto another animal. See, Shechita, there are plenty of ways of doing Shechita without being Mechal Shabbos. 6 days a week you could do Shechita without being Mechal Shabbos. So it's not, the Maisa is not necessarily associated with this Avera. That's where we would say, only by a case where the whole Maisa is the Avera and can only be done with the Avera, only then would we say, Yavad Lo Mahani, or a person takes a Shavua not to sell something. So he cannot sell it without violating the Isser, that's when we say the Maisa is not going to be Chal. The Marit and the Maritat have a different suggestion. They say Kol Nididam Rachmanu Lo Savid Yavad Lo Mahani is only in a case where if you were Mevatel the Maisa, then the Isser would go away. And then the Torah's true desire would have been accomplished. You know, the Torah says Lo Yamir, right? So if we were to say that when you do Tumura, your Maisa is Batel, that it doesn't work, in order to be, that would be Mekayim, the Ratzon of the Torah, not to exchange the Kedusha off of this animal onto another animal. It didn't work. The Kedusha didn't go anywhere. But something that the Isser is in the Maisa itself, and even if you're Mevatel, the Maisa, the Isser is not going to be fixed. You know, Yishachtan on Shabbos, even if we say the Shechita doesn't work, and therefore the animal is not kosher, it didn't fix the Isser of Netilas Neshama that you already did on Shabbos. The animal's still dead. So it's still, you still violated the Yisr. So that, in such a case, we're not going to say, Yavid Lo Mahani. That's how the Marid Maritatz suggests. Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Minchas Chinuch suggest a little differently. They say when Rava says Yavid Lo Mahani, that's only when the Torah says that's when the Torah says a specific Yisr, that we're understanding that Yisr in the Torah, not only that you may not do that act, but that when you do that act, your maisa is going to be batal. So that's only shaykh by a lav that is very specific in the Torah. The Torah says, lo yachlifenu, lo yamiru, so don't do tamura, or not to be podem maisa behema. So the pasuk is telling us, not only the taich of the pasuk, what the pasuk means is, not only don't do it, but you do not have the koach to do it. As opposed to where the lav is a general lav, it's said in a more klaliistic kind of way. Lo sasa kol malacha b'shabbos. Don't do any malacha on Shabbos. There's no way lo sasa kol malacha b'shabbos means you are incapable of doing malacha on Shabbos. I build a house on Shabbos. You're going to tell me it's not a house? No, of course it's a house. You can't say that it's something that that when it's said in such a general way, it can't be that that's what the Torah means, that the Torah is just telling me that in addition to not being allowed to do it, that I'm not even capable of affecting it. Okay, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Darish Chia Barav Mishmei Darav, Asura Bachil Liyoma. So our Mishnah said, if you shecht on Shabbos, the shechit is kasher, but comes along Rav and he says, you're not allowed to eat it on that Shabbos. The whole Shabbos, it's going to be asr. Tosfos makes the point, the kind of point that Tosfos makes all over the place. Wait a second, should Rav Huna be quoting Rav Chia bar Rav? Isn't Rav Huna the Rebbe of Rav Chia bar Rav? So Tosfos says, there are multiple Rav Hunas, right? That's what we already saw the other day. There are multiple Rav Hunas. A lot of the Achronim say, what's the big deal? He's quoting Rav Chia bar Rav, Mishmei de Rav. So it's a teaching from his own Rebbe, from Rav. So that, for sure, he would quote even from someone who's Katan Menu. Furthermore, Martzchai says, since when do rabbis so makbid on kavod that they wouldn't quote someone who's a little younger than them, or they wouldn't quote someone who's Katan Menu? I mean, there are rabbis that are so makbid, but I mean, that's not the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to be able to quote Kabbalah HaEmes, Mishamara. You know, you have to you quote whoever says. Okay, so anyway, so he says this comment that it's asur b'achila for the rest of Shabbos. And everyone says, oh, that's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda, that you're not allowed to eat it the rest of Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to work the rest of this daf, and again part of tomorrow daf, just on this question. Hey, Rabbi Yehuda, what did Rabbi Yehuda ever say that makes you believe that he's the one that would hold, or from him you can derive, that you're not allowed to eat that shechita on Shabbos? That even though the shechita is kosher, you're not allowed to eat it on Shabbos. So the Gemara is going to work hard to try to figure out where do we find that it's that Rabbi Yehuda says such a thing. What the Rishonim are bothered by a little bit is, how do we even have a possibility of eating it on Shabbos? Meaning, you're going to eat it on Shabbos, it can't possibly be kosher. In order to eat meat, you need to get rid of the dam. You need to do malicha. Malicha is also to do on Shabbos. So how are you going to eat the meat on Shabbos without, just practically, without violating the isser of achilas dam? So that's something that the Rishonim, that Tosfos already works on. Tosfos asks the kasha. Tosfos says, must be that you already, you did the malicha already, bi isser. Or even if you didn't do the malicha, it's mutar b'achila kol zman, that the basar is not cooked, that it's basar chai. As long as you're madiach the dam, you rinse it off, b'mayim, rinse off the dam with water, because the dam is not nivla be'evarim, as long as it hasn't been porish, as long as you're able to just catch it early and rinse it all off. So they come up with different suggestions of how it would even be possible. But what one suggestion that Rishonim point out, Rashi already points out, clearly you're eating it raw, right? Meaning you're definitely not allowed to cook it on Shabbos. So clearly we're talking about eating the meat raw. Okay, but whatever it is, the shechita was done on Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda apparently is the one that would teach us that you're not allowed, even though the shechita is kosher, you're not allowed to eat it for the rest of that Shabbos. So where does Rabbi Yehuda say something similar? So I'm Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yehuda da Achanahi. It's the following sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes to Achanah, Titnan, because the Mishnah tells us in Maseches Beitzah, Mechatchin es adilu in the lifnei habehima. You're allowed to cut gourds in front of an animal. Vesa nevela lifnei haklavim, and you can cut up pieces of nevela in front of dogs to feed it to dogs. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im lois a nevela me'erev Shabbos asur lefi sheinam in a mulchan. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if this animal was not a nevela already on erev Shabbos, meaning it was still mooing on erev Shabbos, it just dropped dead on Shabbos, it became a nevela on Shabbos, then you are not allowed to feed it to your animals on Shabbos. That is muktza. It's not min hamukhan. It wasn't designated as animal food when Shabbos began. Alma, kivin dolitchan me'at mal asura. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds anything that was not mukhan for this purpose before Shabbos started is going to be muktza for the rest of Shabbos. So too, if you shecht an animal on Shabbos, the animal, so the cow was still mooing when Shabbos started. It was still alive when Shabbos started. So it was not mukhan for achila when Shabbos started. So therefore, it's going to be asur for the rest of Shabbos. Hachanami, in our case as well, of shechting on Shabbos, kivin dolitchan me'at mal asura. Since it wasn't mukhan from the previous day, it's asur. So Amalei Abaye says, how can you compare our case of shechita on Shabbos to that case of an animal becoming a nevela on Shabbos? Midami, hasa meikar mukhan la'adam, v'hashtu mukhan la'klavim. You know, over there, the animal is alive before Shabbos, it drops dead on Shabbos. Now that it dropped dead, it's not kosher, it's a nevela. So now, you can't even use it as human food anymore. You have to give it to dogs. People aren't allowed to eat it anymore. So when Shabbos started, if someone would have pointed to that cow and ask you what are your plans for that cow? You would say, oh, that's going to make a delicious steak dinner for me sometime. Now on Shabbos it drops dead, so it's a nevela. So now you have to use it for dogs. That's einam min hamukhan. That's muktza. It was never designated for that use. But over here, if someone would have asked you before Shabbos, what are your plans for that cow? Delicious steak dinner. And guess what? Now that you shechted it on Shabbos, it's still meant for a delicious steak dinner. Well, raw and not malicha, but you know, a steak dinner. So you're still gonna eat it. So it's still mukhal adam. That's a totally different case. So says Gemara, Misar Beim B'chaya, L'achilo Medes. Are you sure that if someone would ask you before Shabbos while the animal is still alive, what are your plans for that animal, that you would say it's going to be a steak dinner? Beim B'chaya, L'gadol Medes. No, you know what you would more likely answer? That I'm going to raise more animals with that. I'm going to use that cow to have more cows, to have baby calves, and then more and more, and I'm going to increase my stock. Well, if that's the case, then why are we ever allowed to shecht an animal on Yom Tov, according to Rabbi Yehuda? You should never be allowed to shecht an animal on Yom Tov if a behema, b'chayeha, is not meant to be eaten. Then when you shecht an animal on Yom Tov, you're changing what it's mukhan for, and therefore it should be muktza. So amalo, omedes la'achila ve'omedes la'gadel. No, if someone would ask you, what are your plans for that animal, you would say everything. It's going to have offspring, and then I'm going to shecht it, and I'm going to eat it, and maybe I'll milk it while it's still alive. I don't know, lots of things that it will do. So nishchita, when you shecht it, huvra de la'achila omedes. Then it's huvrar that it's retroactively clarified that you were initially planned on eating it. Lo nishchata, if you didn't shecht it, huvrar de l'gadol medes, that you're still keeping it around to be megadol vlados, that you're not yet ready to shecht it. I valesle Rabbi Yehuda Breira, but Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Breira. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold that you can say huvrar adavar lemafreya, that we retroactively look at what it is. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't accept that entire concept. So says Mar, are you sure? Minalan, where does Rabbi Yehuda not accept this entire concept of Breira? Again, keep in mind the broader context of what we're doing over here. We're trying to find the one place where Rabbi Yehuda holds something that would lead us to believe that if you shecht an animal on Shabbos, you cannot eat it on Shabbos. You have to wait till after Shabbos. So this one place was the shita of Rabbi Yehuda that if an animal drops dead on Shabbos, you're not allowed to feed it to your behemoths on Shabbos because it wasn't muchan for that purpose. So we're just having the discussion that follows. That is that true? That Rabbi Yehuda would say that it's not muchan for that purpose. Just because he says it by nevela, does that necessarily mean he would say it over here? So this just led us into the discussion of Breira, but that's not really our ikur discussion. We'll get back to our ikur discussion soon. But still, says Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Breira. Well, minalan, where do you know that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of Breira? If you can say it's from the following brisa, a person buys wine from kutim. Omer, he says, Shnei Lugin Shani Yasala Hafrish Arein Truma. Two Lugin that I'm going to designate from this wine, they should be Truma. Asara Maisarishon. 10 Lugin that I'm going to take from this wine should be Maisarishon. Tisha Maisarsheni. And then 9 should be Maisarsheni. And then Umechel Vashosamiyad, he's Machal the Maisarsheni, and he could drink right away from that wine. Divra Meir, that's Rameir Shita. Without actually moving any of the wine to one place or another and being Mafresh anything, just by saying, what I will do, the two that I will be mafresh, the 10 that I, right, all of that is good enough, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Osrim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, all say, absolutely not, it's going to be usher in such a case. That you cannot rely on, apparently, because you cannot rely on Breira, meaning you're going to say what, that tomorrow, when I designate these two lugin, it will be Huvra Adavon Mafreya that those two lug of Yayin were Truma the entire time. At the time that I started drinking from it, I didn't know where my Truma was, where my Maisarishon was. It was always what I will do in the future. So apparently Rabbi Yehuda is not comfortable with that. He doesn't hold of the concept of Breira. So says Gemara, no, over there it's different. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda does hold of the concept of Breira. Hasam kitakatani taima omru lo l'rameir iyatamodah shema yibaka anod. There's a much more practical concern over there. What are you going to do? The two lug that I'm afresh tomorrow will be Truma. The 10 lug I'm afresh tomorrow will be Maisarishon. But tonight, before tomorrow ever comes, the barrel breaks and you're never able to be mafresh anything. Then it's going to turn out that you ate tevel the entire time because you never got to be mafresh truma. So it's not that he doesn't rely on Breira in principle. He would agree to Breira in principle. He just thinks there's a practical concern over there. V'nimsa shosa tevel mafreya. You'll end up having tevel and mafreya. Samuel Lehenra, Meir's response is, look, sheyibaka. You know, when that happens, I'll be concerned about it. But in the meantime, you don't have to be choshesh for such a thing that it's going to, that the whole thing is going to fall apart. So one issue that just a side issue within this Mishnah about, you know, two that I'll be mafresh and then 10 that I'll be mafresh will be my Rishon. So Rishonim raised the question, why don't you just be mafresh, right? Meaning, don't forget all the shtick, right? I'll be mafresh in a week from now too, and then I'll be mafresh 10. Just be mafresh. Take two lugin and call that truma. Take 10, call it maaser rishon, and just do it. What is preventing this person from doing the actual afrasha? So Rashi says a practical thing. He doesn't have any kelim. He doesn't have anywhere to put it. He's got this one big barrel that's got all this wine. He doesn't have any smaller jugs to put truma in or to put maaser rishon. So that's one possibility. Tosla suggests that no, it's bein hashmashos sener of Shabbos, and he doesn't have time to be mafresh and put it into kelim because it's going to be Shabbos, and he's not allowed to be mafresh on Shabbos. So bein hashmashos sener of Shabbos, he has to do it in a very quick kind of way. So that's why he wants to have this wine for Shabbos. Okay, so that's how they explain what the case is. Also interesting is we said, okay, so he's mafresh two that I lugin that I'll be mafresh. He's got 100 lug. Two lug that I'll be mafresh, that will be truma. That's perfect. That's 1/50. That's what the Mishnah says. Maseches Trumas is the ayin beinonis. That's the average amount that people give for truma. Then he says 10 will be maaser rishon. So the Rishonim are all up in arms about that. 10 will be maaser rishon. You're supposed to give 10%. For maaser rishon, 10% of what's remaining after you give truma. If you started with 100 and gave 2, you have 98 left. It should be 9.8 is maaser rishon, not 10 is maaser rishon. So I would have said, yeah, okay, lav dafka. And in fact, that's what Tosfos says. Lav dafka. You don't have to go through the exact numbers of what exactly is maaser rishon, 9.8. But some of the mafarshim, the Ramban quotes shitas and rishonim, that this din is in the case where you lokeach yayin bein akutim, it's not tevel vaday. The whole thing is a chumrah, and it could be that the kuti was already mafresh truma. So if that's the case, you really need to be mafresh 10% of the whole thing, even though you're again being mafresh truma misafek, because the kuti might have actually been mafresh truma gedola. Not only that, some of the rishonim quote a deya even further, even if it wasn't bought from a kuti. The Ramban quotes a deya that by all tevel you have to be mafresh maaser rishon on the entire thing, 10% of the entire thing, and not 10% of the remainder. Why? Because on a daraisa level, chita achas poteres es kol akri. One stalk of wheat would work as truma for everything. So, because I decided to be generous to the kohen, the levi has to lose out. I decided I'm going to give 10 lug to the kohen. So now the levi has to get less from my sarishon. No, I can't cost the levi. I have to give 10% of the entire thing. That's how some of the rishonim suggest that the Ramban quotes and other Rishonim quote as well. Okay, let's see weiter in the Gemara. So that's not the place where Rabbi Yehuda rejects the concept of Breira. Elami Ditani Ayo. Where does he reject the concept of Breira? From what Ayo taught us. Ditani Ayo, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Demasan Al Shnei Dvarim Keachad Elim Bachach L'Mizrach Eruva L'Mizrach L'Marav Eruva L'Marav. That the Mishnah in Maseches Erevin tells us that a person can make a Tanai on his Erev Tchumen. He's trying to expand his Tchum Shabbos. So he puts one Erev to the east of the city, one Erev to the west of the city, and he's interested. He heard that a big Talmud Chacham is coming and he wants to be Mekabel Panav. He wants to go hear the Shir or whatever. So he says, if the Chacham comes the Mizrach, then I want that Erev to work. And if he comes the Marav, 3,000 amos to the west of the city, then I want that Erev to work, so I'll be able to go to the west of the city. And the Mishnah goes on to say, and if two chachamim are coming, I want to be able to choose which chacham I want to go to. So it'll be whoever Adav Lafreya, that will be the Erev that works. The chacham that I decide to go to, whether it's to the east or the west, that will be the Erev that works. So Rabbi Yehuda said, no, you can't make a Tanai like that. Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. Look, if the chacham comes Lemizrach, and then your Erev Lemizrach will work. But if there are two chachamim, you can't decide later which one is going to be the one that your Erev is going to work for. You can make the deal in advance that wherever the chacham goes, that's going to be my Erev. But if there are two chacham, you can't work it that way. And we asked on him, why is it that if there are two chacham, you can't choose later which one is going to work? Because ein breira. Well, Mizrach Marav Nami ein breira. Shouldn't that be the same issue when there's one chacham and you don't yet know, and the chacham himself doesn't even know whether he's going to go the Mizrach or the Marav beforehand? So shouldn't we say ein breira? Rabbi Yochanan kvar b'chacham. So Rabbi Yochanan says no, it has to be that the chacham has already arrived from before Shabbos in that spot, and you just don't know where he has arrived. But he knows. So it's not Huvra Adavra L'Mafreya. It's at that moment, that's the on Erev Shabbos, that's the one that's going to be Chal, because the Chacham is already where he is going to be. Okay, that was all the first approach to where do we find the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that would tell us that if you shecht an animal on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat it that day, even though you're allowed to eat it after Shabbos. Now we move on to a second approach. Elam Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda de Kelim. It's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda with regard to Kelim, the Tanan. Call a kelman nitalin b'Shabbos. Any kli that's not muktzah that you're allowed to move on Shabbos, shivrei nitalin. You're allowed to move the broken pieces of that kli when it breaks as well. As long as the broken pieces can still be used for something. Shivrei ariva lechasos ben pichavis. Maybe a broken kneading bowl. You can use the piece that's large enough to cover a barrel with. Shivrei zechuchis, a broken piece of glass, lechas ben piapach, to cover a small jug with, like a pach shemen. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ubavachios, right, extending Chanukah a little, pach shemen. Rabbi Yehuda Omer ubavachios osin me'in melachtan. Rabbi Yehuda says that they have, it's not good enough that you could do something with the broken pieces of the kli. It has to be something similar to the initial function of the kli you have to be able to do with it. Shivrei areva, lotzok letochen matfe. A kneading bowl, you have to be able to hold something in it, like a porridge in it. Shivrei zuchuchas, lotzok letochen shemen. Broken pieces of glass, to pour some shemen into it. Me'in melachtan in, me'in melacha acheres lo. But Rabbi Yehuda says, if you could do some melacha with it, but not the melacha that's similar to what its initial function was, then that's no good. It's going to be mukta. Why? Alma kivin dalitcha me'at malach malacha asiri. If already on Erev Shabbos it wasn't muchan for this malacha, it's aser. So achanami kivin dalitcha me'at malasura. The animal that you shecht on Shabbos was not muchan on Erev Shabbos to be used for food, and therefore it's going to be aser on Shabbos. Amalei Abaye Abaye says, no, you can't compare those two cases. Midami, hasamei kari kli, hasha shever kli. By the broken kli, it was once a kli, now it's a broken kli. Vavalei nolad va'asr. And that's a type of muktzah that's called nolad. A brand new entity has come into being. So that's terrible. That's asr. Hachamei kari uchla, b'sof uchla, uchla dirfrasu. You know, a live animal is food. A dead animal is food. So it's really the same thing. It's not nolad. V'shamina le Rabbi Yehuda, damar uchla dirfras. Shabir dami, Rabbi Yehuda holds, if you cut off a piece of food from a larger piece of food, that's going to be mutter. Ditran ain't something as a peros lotziman mashkin. You're not allowed to squeeze out peros to draw liquid from the peros. Vim yatsu me'atzman asurin. But if liquid just comes out on its own, it's asur. Rabbi, and if liquid comes out on its own, it's even going to be asur, because we're going to make a gzera that lest you come to be sochet. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, im li olch l'neyotzim en mutter. You know, if you have a cantaloupe that you plan on eating, you're not going to make cantaloupe juice out of it, but some juice comes out, so then that which comes out of it is mutter. But vim l'mashkin, but if they're juicing oranges, and some orange juice comes out of it, hayotzim en asur, then certainly that which comes out of it is going to be asur, because we have to be gozer that you might come to do shechita. Lavit marla amr avidom shmuel moda hayir rabbiuda lechamim b'salizesim v'anavim. And rabbiuda would agree, even if you plan on eating olives and grapes are meant for juicing, and therefore we're always going to make a gzeira that any liquid that emerges from olives and grapes are going to be asur. Alma, kivin de l'shchita kaimi yav daite. Since these things are meant for squeezing, you have in mind to squeeze them, to be sochet them, and to get their juices. Sachanami, kivin de l'shchita kaima yav daite. An animal as well. It's meant for shchita, and therefore you are already are no sein das. Your plan is already to be sochet. So bottom line is that this is just an example of a food that is detaching from another food. It's not nolad. It's not this brand new form of an item that would make it absolute muktzah. Says Gemara, no, midu time el rav. But we're trying to explain rav. Rav is one that said that Rabbi Yehuda would asur eating that pehema the entire Shabbos. Hamarav chalakay Rabbi Yehuda afilu b'salizes ma'anavim. Rav holds that Rabbi Yehuda would disagree even by salizes ma'anavim. He would hold that if you're planning on eating it, you're allowed to drink the juices that come out of it. So this explanation is not going to work for how Rav understood that our Mishnah follows Rabbi Yehuda. So Bezrashem, tomorrow we'll have to move on to explanations numbers 3 and 4.